Broadcasting live from sunny South Florida, and the best way to start your Saturday, this is KMA Talk Radio, life, liberty, and the pursuit of fine cigars. And now your KMA crew, Juan Cancel, the man with the scoop, William Cooper, Alex the Goat Tavella, and always telling it like it is, Honest Abe DeBethna.
I like to smoke them like the Winston Churchill. Like John Kennedy, yeah. Remember Coach Red Auerbach, pumped up for victory, yeah. Well, you can take my wife, you can take my car, but you can't take my big cigar.
My cigar.
Hey, oh, hey, good morning to all our loyal listeners, libertarians, and lovers of the leaf. Thank you for joining us on this fine Saturday morning. Best way to start your Saturday for KMA episode number 554. And as always, I am here with my KMA crew, the man they call the GOAT, Alex Tavella, bringing you all the industry news, always teaser and rumor free. William the Scoop.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. Welcome to Scoop Cooper. And AKA Mr. Phenomenal, Juan Cancel.
I was unlike me.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good
I was,
morning.
I was been a little behind.
I've been in the official KMA studio for a while now.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Yes. I get to light up.
Right. So, you probably haven't lit up on a KMA show in, God, at least 6 months.
You've been 6 weeks. Football season. Yeah. Six, 7 weeks. A week. So that being said, what are we all smoking today? And those of you joining us everywhere across the country, please chime in. We want to know what you're lighting up this morning while you're watching this fine episode of KMA Talk Radio.
Well, I think the big question is, Abe, what are you smoking?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yes, this is our new McAuliffe exclusive, the McAuliffe Black. Press release, I believe, just went out. I think William Cooper covered it, actually.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
When we get good partners, we cover stuff like that. And thank you guys very much.
This is actually a really cool-looking soft box press. You know?
It's box pressed with rounded edges.
Yes.
Not quite oval, but it's box pressed. Yeah. Perfect box press, but then the edges are rounded.
When Dan was telling me about this, I thought, okay, it's an oval, right? But when I saw the pictures yesterday, I'm like, no, this is something. This was very unique. The way it was like very flat on the top.
Right.
And those rounded sides. Yeah.
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 Camera angle. It's extremely flat top and bottom.
So would you say it's half round and half flat, like a semi box?
No, I think it's like almost like a square with rounded corners. You know, it's like the radius tool on, you know, when you make an ellipse. But super smooth wrapper. And I'm lighting one up this morning. What are you guys lighting up? Oh, by the way, this cigar drops this Wednesday, 11 a.m. online. It'll be in all our retail stores. Pretty easy to buy 10-count box. So it's not a big 90 box.
Yeah, 90 yep. bucks.
10 beautiful cigars in there.
What size are they? They look like Churchill's.
This is 6.5 by 54.
Yeah, that's a great size. I love 6.5. I love
this.
Six
is a really solid size. So I'm going to layer up.
That was a solid cigar. Solid cigar too.
Oh, we got some Juan Cancel fans here.
Yeah, you go.
Yeah. They're still out there somewhere.
Alex,
I am not.
Go ahead. You are not what?
I am not smoking because I'm still at the place in Pennsylvania, so I have my hoodie on. It's cold, but I am happy to announce that I put the cable in the right port today. Oh. So for last week, it went in the right hole today. I just let everybody know.
Still trying to figure out.
Oh, Mayflower. There you go. Thanks to Michael Knowles, who gave us a nice little drop during his show.
Yeah. What a great guy he was. I really enjoyed that interview.
And a great show. Oh, do we have a special guest today by any chance? I see in the bottom. Was that a surprise?
Who gave him the link?
He has the link. He's the original link.
Fuck.
You don't need the link.
How come I don't know this?
Login. I didn't know either.
Hold on. I just texted Abe.
What's this idiot doing here?
I didn't even see him in there. I was going to complain, but I do have to share this, right?
He didn't even tell me. I talked to the guy.
he sends me this message. Hang on. Where is it?
I think I know who it is.
Yeah, hang on. Wait, what are you saying?
Another vacation.
Special guest in the green room.
Yeah. By the way, I'm smoking this Sam Rioja cigar. This is blended by Eladio Diaz, and I've been enjoying these a lot.
Interesting.
Yep. Very good.
For a EPC Encore this morning. Something different.
I can't find it, but he ended up messaging me. He's like, something about Saturday. I'm like, why? Did you get a pass?
You know, you got permission.
Yeah, you get permission, and then he's like, yeah, but don't tell the guy. He said, why? In case you cop out at the last minute. Wait, hold on. And then I get this text at 6:48 this morning. Can't make this shit up.
Oh boy,
we found a service outage, electrical service outage.
you can find those images anywhere. By the way.
Right. It made
I don't know. Should we leave him in the green room?
Nah, let's get him in here. Let's
get him in. No, we gotta get him in.
Pleasant surprise. We've been torturing Juan so much. We can lay off Juan.
Juan needs a break. Juan needs a break.
Juan's gonna get enough torturing later in the show.
By unpopular demand, by his own demand, it is Paul, who joining KMA?
Literally,
hey, welcome back.
What's happening?
What's up, fellas?
What is the wife out of town?
Yeah, what's going on?
No, she's here. Listen, man, we've been busy over here. New baby and a lot of stuff going on. So,
did you rent a mansion for this for the showing? Because you got a piano
you know what's
in
funny?
The back.
He rented
that's
a green
like the
screen.
Lifestyles of the rich and famous.
I haven't been on in so long. None of my backgrounds are saved in StreamYard anymore, and I had no other background to use. So I said, well, this looks good. This looks like Rafael Nadal's apartment, except there's no ocean view.
Yes, it does.
It really, actually really does with, a little bit, yeah.
And you're not eating some fine succulent meal there, right? That's what's
no, dude. I'm in a ocean
view
in a corner.
Fine succulent meal.
I'm in a corner of my office, hiding away from the kids and the wife.
So I really have to ask, okay, how did this come about, really?
Yeah.
I mean, be honest. Come on. Be honest.
I'll tell you. I'll tell you exactly what happened. Yesterday, we were making plans for the weekend, and I said to my wife, what are our plans for Saturday? And she said, well, I'm going to have some of the girls over Saturday night. But other than that, nothing. I was like, perfect. I lied to her and I said, Abe asked if I could join the show. And she's like, oh, well, I guess you could do that. Yeah, why not? Yeah, you know, like not. Yeah, sure. I was like, all right, cool. That's what I'm going to do.
Was that like a quid pro quo? In return of the girls being over Friday night?
Not necessarily. The girls come over every night. We had 400 people here yesterday, actually.
400?
They were all outside. Not really 400. So we had like all the neighborhood families.
350.
Yeah, all the neighborhood families came because we're one of the few people that live on a cul-de-sac. So we had all the kids here at like 7 o'clock till like 9 o'clock riding around in power wheels and bikes and stuff outside. You know, the dads, we were having beers. I was putting my Halloween decorations back up, which may be stupid because we may get some of this other storm. I don't know. But
Sounds like Paul lives in Pleasantville.
Do rich people's kids
power wheel their Mercedes or you know Jaguars?
Our neighbor's kid does have a Mercedes one, but no, my kid has a Hummer one, and they have a John Deere tractor.
Yeah.
All right.
So Paul, I got a big question. I want to know the status of Friendsgiving for this year.
Oh, that's right.
Why, Coop? It's not like we're going to get an invitation.
Well, that's true, Abe. Thanks.
That goes without
saying.
That wasn't the
question. I don't know that we're doing. We haven't talked about it. It's been crazy here, man. We just got back from Mexico.
You're not going to show off the new house for Friendsgiving? Are you serious?
Yeah.
There's no point in getting a new house.
I've been in this house for almost 3 years.
Has it been that long?
That was a month's worth of material, that Friendsgiving stuff.
Now,
you know what's funny? Now I've heard of
it.
Now I've heard of it now. It's like apparently it's a thing, yeah.
People do it. Yeah. I want to show off the new pool, but I don't know. We're having some issues. So what's wrong with my shirt?
Skirt.
Oh, skirt. No. Ha
So, you know, it's funny. For those that don't know, Paul still actually lives in our KMA group chat.
But right. I love it.
Paul is it. Like Paul is like the king of random. Like,
random.
There's
random.
One point where let
he
me tell you,
he won't say anything. Listen. He won't say anything for months. Like I forget he's even in the fucking chat.
But even that, like, there was at one point, which by the way, will be premiering. We'll be premiering with the new season of Tale of the Tape will be today. But there was at one point when literally the four of us were like at each other's throats over what we were going to decide. And randomly, Paul just like pops up. Look at me. I'm in Mexico.
Yeah. We're debating.
Like fiery debate amongst each other.
Yeah. What do you want the topic to be going back and forth? And in the middle of all this, this has been going on for like 20, 25 minutes. A video shows up of Paul where he's staying in Mexico.
I sent a video of my
Mexican
suite.
Mansion. Yeah,
the kids are frolicking in the Riviera, and
I have
no. The kids were frolicking throats. in the private pool that we had in this hotel room. It was unbelievable.
We should really put excerpts from our chat on social media.
The Abe and Juan banter is priceless.
Oh man, I love it. Alex and I usually have some side chats too. I usually text Alex and I'm like, hey, wow.
I'm looking for my exact response to Paul in that chat. I remember it was pretty colorful.
It was fucking random.
I would do it, but I'm hot spotting off my phone. I don't want to move my phone since the tornadoes came through Wellington.
Still out?
No, but since the tornadoes came through Wellington, internet's so spotty.
And here's Paul with the most fucking irrelevant topic to the context of this conversation.
I was excited. I officiated a wedding in Mexico for one of my buddies. It was weird. They asked me to do it, and I said, no, I don't have any licensing. They're like, well, technically, we're legally married, but we want you to do the ceremony. So I did a ceremony, and $25 boys were ring bearers. You could do Universal Life Church. I didn't want to have that responsibility, but they asked me to do it. It was fun. We spent the next day in Mexico. It was close because of the storms. We have a really good friend lives about a mile and a half away, and their house is gone, destroyed by an EF3 tornado. And
that tornado that I was showing you guys the video of, that same one, has to be.
That's the one that hit their house in Binks Estates across the street. Yeah. Like, it really, if you go over there, Abe, I don't know if you've been by Binks over there. It's a little bit far from you. It is like a war zone there. There's no trees. Every tree is down. They're still cleaning it up. It's insane. So anyway, we were trying to help them out with like getting stuff to them for the kids and I offered for them to stay here, but her sister lives in the neighboring community. They got hit, but their house wasn't destroyed, just their yard. So they're staying there. But it was a little bit crazy. And then the day before we fly out, Axel's holding the baby. He was carrying the baby, playing on the floor with him. My sister was here watching them. I was in here on a phone call for work. And all of a sudden, Axel gets up and runs with the baby and falls into the corner of our wainscoting. The baby hits the wall, then hits the floor. He's got a knob like this on his head.
Wait. Time out for Juan and myself and probably half the audience. What is a wainscoting?
It's
wood on the trim. Wall. It goes around the base trim? Of the wall. It's like wood trim or something that goes around the baseboard like halfway up to save scratches.
Like squares, like squares of extra wood on half of the wall. But got I said it, that got because got there's it, sharp yes. edges on it. So he had a gash here, a bump here, because he hit that. It was thankfully our neighbor across the street is an NP, and she was home. So I was like, oh my God, Rachel, can I bring him over? She's like, of course. Brought him over. She's like, I think he's fine. She did like the concussion test and like all the weird tracking, whatever the hell they do. Took a light and like and looked at him. She's like, let's just watch him for an hour and see how he does. He seemed to be fine. It looked horrible, but then we were like, crap, can we go tomorrow? Because like, what if he has a concussion and we fly to Mexico and then we're going to some Mexican hospital with our 7 month or 8 month old baby? I was like, I don't know, but he was fine. We ended up flying out on Friday. I told him if worse comes to worse, I'll fly in on Saturday morning because there's direct flights from Fort Lauderdale to Cancun. But yeah, it's been crazy here, man.
It's all it happens.
Yeah, and he's fine. He's fine. That's and good. Usually they do, but you know, Abe, how like you'll see like a little pink spot on your kid's head when they bang and you're like, all right, they'll be fine. This was like immediate bright red and a
it
big
looks, yeah, bump. Sometimes the look is worse than it is. Yeah. Okay, what? Yeah.
I don't know if you guys could see it now, but it's a little bit more apparent now that I've lost a little weight, but it's hidden by my beard. But like, I have one dimple, right? When I smile, I got one dimple. Yeah. It's right here. This was a man-made dimple. Literally, I wasn't born with this dimple. At 3 years old, I was running around, fell, hit the corner of a coffee table right here. Oof. It's gushing out blood and everything, and it ended up being a dimple in life. I told them they should have pushed me and dropped me on this side too. I could have
even it out.
Yeah, it happens. Yeah, my kid, when my kid fell, Abe, and he busted his, he's still got
a your kid needs a helmet. Your kid really needs a helmet. He's falling.
He's gonna have that gash. He's gonna have that gash on his face.
With second and third kids, like I remember our first kid, we like baby proofed the hell out of our house. We had like the little bumper things that you put on the edges of tables and all that stuff. After the first kid, the rest of them, like, this house is not baby proof at all. That, like, there's nothing in here that's safe for him. It's a death trap, but we watch it, you know, whatever.
I don't know about the rest of you, but I also believe that's like nature's trick, because at least for me, like, Carmine was easy. You know, he had all the stuff. None of it, you absolutely know, he never bumped anything. And then the second one came in. So you're less on guard. You're like, I don't need, you know, this. And
they're lunatics.
They come out and they're absolute lunatics.
I agree with you. Axel was our first was a perfect baby. Perfect. And the third was more of a surprise, but the second, if my second child had been first, we would never have any more. I would be getting a vasectomy at the birth.
Right. I say that about Asher. If he came first, we might have stopped having kids.
Yeah, right?
Nature's trick. That's nature's trick.
It really is. They fool you into it.
Yeah.
And it's the truth, because I tell you, man, especially with the girls, the first three, man, they were easy, bro.
Yeah.
You give them a comic book. You give them a coloring book. You give them something. They doll. They'll sit in a corner for hours.
Right, and they'll play. Yes, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so we had, you know, you're usually at entertainment center, right? We had the TV hung on the wall, and we had an open entertainment center, so all the equipment showed. You know,
I've heard this
floor height, right? It's been there forever. Three kids, never a problem.
Nobody touched it, right?
This kid couldn't walk yet, but he got to the point where he could crawl and pull himself up. He unplugged. Detached, pulled out everything. This guy got the cereal boxes in the closet, because I mean, this is our fourth one. By now, there's not no child care. We don't even have the baby monitor at this point. Like, it's all like, you know, hey, you know, you're good.
And unplug for you is kind of a nightmare, because it's not like, you know, you unplug, you plug it back. All your shit's connected to the iPad. It's connected to Sono. Some gets unplugged. Everything's got to reset.
Right.
It's a whole nightmare.
Everything. Nothing comes back on right.
Right, right.
You know, you're lucky 50% comes back on. I mean, he destroyed everything. We literally had to get a locked up cabinet one just because of him. But yeah, that's the way it works.
Wow.
We got suckered by our first one. Look how beautiful and pleasant this is. This is great.
It's not as bad as everybody said.
This is great.
Yeah, what are you?
They're not wine glasses.
And then Satan Spawn comes out later.
that's what everybody does when you have one kid, and they're like, well, you gotta have two. Two is easy. Then when you have two, they're like, three, it means it's no difference. No, let me tell you something. Three kids is 1,000 times more difficult.
So let me tell you something. It is now. But the easier stuff comes later. Once you become a little self-sufficient, especially even now, like Petra just turned 16, bro. We don't have to drop shit off no more. Hey, Petra,
right.
I can't get home on time. Take your brother to football
practice. You have a personal driver.
Yeah, I mean, so, and they babysit themselves and whatever. So it becomes a whole lot easier as they become a little bit more self-sufficient. When you're tending to all four at the same time, or, you know, three at the same time, yeah, it's tough, man. But it's good for them to be close in age and young like that. You'll see
that. You said that to me. You gave me that advice.
Pain now, tons of benefits later. That's how that works.
My first two are like 22 months apart, and then between the middle and the youngest, Oliver, I think it's 4 years. So it's not, or a little bit under 4 years. Yeah. But this is it though. We're done.
You sure?
Oh, I'm sure. A point in a set.
Well, you're done.
Yeah,
all you gotta do is call Dr. Howe. Dr. Howe will get it done.
He did it already.
I have an appointment with somebody else. No, I have an appointment with somebody else.
I thought you did it already.
I was going to. I'm scared.
No. Can I, from a person that got it, let me give you a little bit of advice. So when I did it, this is serious.
Yeah.
I tell everybody this. So you're going to go to the doctor, whichever one. This is for everybody watching as well. I'm going to give this advice to every male watching about a vasectomy. So every single male that's thinking about a vasectomy, you're going to go to the doctor
and you're going to sit down with him, and he's going to tell you the following. I'm going to do this procedure. After you do the whole thing, you're gonna, you have to get your wife to sign that you guys agree, blah, blah, blah. It's a whole thing they got to go through. But when the time comes and he makes your appointment, he's going to tell you, let's do it in the office. I'm going to give you some Percocets, and you're going to come into the office, and I'm going to give you some local anesthesia and blah, blah, blah. And then if you say to him, Doc, I'm not comfortable with doing this in the office, can you put me under? He's going to say, don't worry about it. I am going to give you local anesthesia. I'm going to give you a Percocet the day before. You'll be fine. It's quick. It's simple. It's easy. And the reason he's doing this, I'm going to tell you why, is because he doesn't have to take a day from his work. He doesn't have to split the money with the anesthesiologist. It's easier for him. It's more money for him. But it is traumatic on you because on me.
Yes.
I'm going to listen to me.
I've heard this story from multiple guys.
Listen to me. Really? Listen to me. So I told the guy, hey, Doc, I'm a cop. I'm a tough guy. I fight, but you know something? I don't want to be awake when you're touching and doing all this. Don't worry, Mr. Cancel. Everybody does it. You'll be fine. Okay, no problem. I'll do it. I'm there in the office. There's the doc. There's the nurse. There's a table. And I'm like, oh, are we doing this like this? Yes. Okay, Mr. Cancel. My nurse is here. This is Becky. She's going to assist me. The first thing we're going to do is stick a 12-inch needle into your scrotum to give you local anesthesia. But you shouldn't feel anything because the Percocet's there. And then you're like, whoa. I felt that. You felt that for a minute, Mr. Cancel, but don't worry. And he put the needle in there. And then the next thing you know, I'm feeling things. I'm smelling burnt flesh. And then he pulls up my wires, and I feel like if somebody punched my and just grabbed them and pulled strings. I was like, whoa, I felt that, Doc. But he goes, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Cancel. Let me give you another local anesthesia. Boom, another needle. After that, I'm like, okay, I don't feel it, but now I'm okay, but I'm awake for all this. So they're doing stuff. I'm feeling things.
Are you? Can you see what's going on?
Not really. You're kind of looking up. But you don't want to see that, Paul.
No,
you don't
want to see it, I don't.
Right? You don't. Who wants to see it? So as he's doing work there, he goes to me, all right, Mr. Cancel, now I'm pulling out the vasectomy. And this. I said, Doc, do not speak to me. I am mentally not here. I'm in the Bahamas right now, sitting on a pier, smoking a Grey Cliff cigar and a pina colada. Don't talk to me, please. He goes, oh, I'm sorry. And he's doing this and he's doing that. He's pulling. He goes, all right, Mr. Cancel, I'm going to have to reschedule you because what? I cannot separate the vasectomy from the vein. I'm like, hold on a second, Doc. We're here right now. That ship has sailed. You're going to do whatever you got to do. I don't care what it is, because we could have been done this. We could have done this, but now you're going to do it. I'm not coming back here. He goes, all right. So finally he got it done, and it was traumatic to me.
Unsplicing wires.
Unsplicing wires was traumatic to me because he had that problem. Most people say it looks like a grapefruit. It swells to a grapefruit. Mine was like maybe a cantaloupe. It was a horrendous, horrendous experience. And had I just gone to the anesthesiologist with him, it would have been like, Mr. Cancel, count from 10 to 1. And I would have been 10, 9. And the next thing I would have remembered is, Mr. Cancel, get up. You're good to go. So that whole long story was to tell everybody, please, if any man gets a vasectomy, I don't care what your doctor says, do it at a surgery place. Don't get local anesthesia.
All right.
Go under.
I get it. So that's
my advice. Go ahead.
You can corroborate the story, Abe?
I've heard. No, I've also heard.
I know you haven't, but
what I've heard is, I thought he was going somewhere other. I heard like they say, oh, it's easy afterwards. I heard it's a fucking brutal time after you get
and
one.
That's another thing.
Well, that I can believe.
I've heard that from so many people. Like, so, you go, oh, we clip you, you go home, we find you back to work the next day.
That's a lie.
Everybody I know, it was a brutal week afterwards.
That I can believe because Dr. Hal told me he does them on Friday, so you have the weekend to recover.
Yeah.
So that part,
that's all that, urologists do. My ex-sister-in-law, I don't know what the hell you call her. Her father was a urologist and he used to call it Vasectomy Fridays. He'd do like 8 in the office.
Listen, I used to have this ongoing joke, especially after we had our fourth kid, right? And they're like, you know, and you start telling people you had your fourth kid. They're like, are you done? I mean, it's like the number one statement question you get after you tell somebody we just had our fourth kid. And I said, well, she's done. I said, you know, she definitely doesn't want to have any more kids. And, you know, I just say, look, you know, if we split up in 10, 15 years, I might want to, you know, 30-year-old trophy wife who might want a kid, you know, whatever. And